Like Hector said, I am the last man standing between you and a cold beer and some prizes and whatever. So I'll try to keep it short. Good thing is we are talking about something fun, so something entertaining, hopefully. But 45 minutes isn't a whole lot of time to talk about chatbots. So what we might try doing is just getting an overview of how you can get started building chatbots and then how you put them in Xamarin apps, right? So that's the goal, just a quick overview and some ways in which you can build these chatbots and how you put them in Xamarin apps, okay? Thank you for being here, and thanks to all of the sponsors who make this happen. We were out there, I work for Progress Telerik, so we were out there at the booth, so thank you for visiting us throughout these 2 days. And you guys are all awesome. You made it to the last session of the conference, so thank you for everything. So let's see if this is working. All right, so we're going to talk about chatbots. My name is Sam Basu. I'm a developer advocate at Progress Software, which not many people know us as Progress. We are the makers of Telerik and Kenda UI and Sitefinity and NativeScript and all of those developer tools. I mostly focus on the .NET side of the family, but I know just enough JavaScript to be dangerous. But if you need to get hold of me after this, that's my social handle for pretty much everything, Twitter, Skype, GitHub, anything. So I'm always out there. Please feel free to ask or just have a conversation. how many of you are from Texas? And how many of you have traveled? Okay, some of you. I'm from Pennsylvania. Anybody traveled any further than me? Virgin Islands. Virgin Islands, okay. That's quite a bit. Cool. Chicago? Cool. Chicago is like my second home. It's like anywhere I go through Chicago. Yeah. All right, so chatbots. You want to build a chatbot. Everybody seems to be talking about it. The problem is it's complicated. It's like you want to build a cake, but you are stuck with all these ingredients and no fixed recipe as to how to build it. So what is it that you're trying to build? How are you going to go about building it? How does it show up on your mobile apps? So let's kind of try breaking it down. There are lots of different types of bots, right? Bot is a very generic thing. We are not talking about the Roomba bots that clear your floor or any other type of like physical bots. We are talking about conversational bots, things that can have a conversation with you, hopefully in a human-ish fashion, things that can be a little more engaging. So the first time I actually started looking into bots, I think it was 2016 build, and Satya Nadella had gotten up on stage and he said, conversation as a platform, that's the thing. And we all started looking into it. So essentially, it is a way to engage your customers. There are some benefits to be had with chatbots. It's a new way, it's a new canvas, a new way to host your apps and make them available in lots of different places. The benefits are nice. But sometimes, like when we talk about chatbots, we get kind of caught up in some of the nebulous things, right? So you see all of these flashy demos. Microsoft does it. You guys may remember Google I/O in one of their keynotes. They had a whole thing where you call in into like a salon to schedule a haircutting appointment, and they had a chatbot go through the whole thing, as if you couldn't tell. So you see these like flashy demos, and you feel like, okay, what's in this for me? Why should I build a chatbot? So here are some of the reasons, right? So first thing is, like, we are all developers who hopefully build apps for ourselves or our clients and our companies. The number one thing is cost savings. It's a little bit of automation. Like you talked about having a call center, any type of tech support, any type of travel insurance, health insurance or travel like booking, any type of knowledge base that you want to automate and make it available, it just cuts down a little bit on the cost. It just helps you automate just a little bit of your workflow that you have in your enterprise. So it's a way for you to be able to reach your customers where they are. You don't have to force them to use iOS or Android or a desktop application. They could be using anything that they want, and you're trying to you're trying to meet them there, and you're trying to provide better customer experience, right? And reducing the time before they come to a human being. So what are conversational bots? And these are things where you have a conversation with, right? So that's the type of bot we are trying to build. So here's a curious question. So we all have voice assistants, right? We have Siri, we have Alexa, Google Home. Do you guys think they're bots? Yes? Yes? No? Yeah? They're sort of. So essentially, there are multiple like languages and terms to use. This is a funny table. It moves up and down. This is fancy. So they are sort of bots, but we also call them agents. So they are kind of the front end of what a bot is. A bot is essentially something that does something concrete. So when you say, Alexa, book me a flight, the actual action of booking a flight, that's what a bot does, right? But you can come to that action through any number of ways. You can type in something, you can speak, but these are all agents. These are the front ends of the bot, right? So a bot is something that does something concrete, hopefully with a good user experience. And the channels thing is important because this is where you get to have your app just light up in multiple channels. This one, bots should be a little intelligent, and this is up to us, right? Bots can be very, very dumb. Like, they could literally just answer one thing and in a one way, and they could not understand what you're trying to say. So this is up to us to fix, to make things a little more human-like, or a little more intelligent, right? So that's where conversational bots are. Again, lots of different ways in which you can build them. So let's kind of start looking into it. Let's talk about some of the basics that everybody has to build or look for when you're starting to build for bots. First thing is, you can roll entirely on your own, but it's a lot of work that you're signing up for, right? So fundamentally, when I say bots are apps, a bot is a web application in particular. It's a web application that's hosted in the cloud. You can write it all by yourself, but you'll be reinventing the wheel many times over because that work has been done by Microsoft and by Facebook and IBM and a whole bunch of other folks, right? So these are all bot frameworks. When you start looking into building a bot and you're trying to automate a piece of workflow, these are some things you should look at. I'm a big fan of the bot framework because I'm a .NET and I'm a JavaScript developer, so it's easy. It's very platform agnostic. I have looked just a little bit into Lex and the Facebook thing. The core concepts are about the same everywhere, right? So they are trying to give you an easy way to write these bots. They're trying to give you SDKs and tools, and then an easy way to host these bots as well. But if you are into other things, like IBM Watson is obviously very powerful, look into these things. So like I would say start with one of these things. I'll try to show you a couple of demos. So let me maybe try walking through some slides first, and then we'll jump into all sorts of demos. Most of it will be on bot framework, but again, the ideas and the concepts are the same if you picked something else. Any questions so far? Anything? Good, you're all awake. Yeah, head nods are good. This is going up and down. This is funny. Keeping things interesting. Yes? Ah. On the top. Oh, I see. Fancy. Okay. How about I not touch the table? Yeah. Okay. So this is the core benefit of using or making a chatbot because, again, your users are everywhere. You could have somebody on Skype. You could have somebody on Twilio. You guys know of Twilio? Twilio is very nice for the voice messaging and the types of text messaging type services that they do. You could have Cortana, Alexa, Siri, and all of these things, Slack and Messenger and email. So all of these are places where your chatbot can show up, right? So you don't have to write your app many times over. It's one app that shows up in every place. Now, all of these are explicit services or apps, right? The one thing that is different in all of this is the last guy. It's called Direct Line. Now, this is something Facebook uses. This is something the Microsoft Bot Framework uses. The point is, all of these other things require your user to be on an app or on a certain service. But if you wanted to integrate your app, like you don't care about Slack or Skype, you just want your desktop WPF app to have access to a chatbot, then you're going to use this guy, because this gives you low-level access directly into the chatbot service. So this is over HTTP, so you're just literally passing messages back and forth, but it can actually be faster than that. You can come down to like a TCP IP level. You can do WebSockets, so that way you have a persistent connection between the chat service and your client, and then it's a very fast exchange. So Direct Line is very nice, and it works for both .NET and JavaScript, so it's nice. These are some UX and UI pieces that show up in most bots. So mostly it's text messages, but you can also have rich media. The whole purpose of building bots is to aid in the conversation, right? So UX is important, and it's not just the delightfulness of it, it's also the efficiency of it, right? Because especially on a mobile phone, nobody likes to type a lot. So your goal should be to just click, click, and be done with it, right? So if anything you can do like prompts and buttons, anything that the user doesn't have to think too much and just he can just tap, or he or she, then it's an easier dialogue, all right? And then there are dialogue flows and lots of ways in which you can build the whole model as to how your bot behaves. Any questions so far? We're good? All right. So let's talk about some of the other things. Architecting bots, these are things that you are going to need to consider as you start building your bot, right? The good news is if you pick any of the bot frameworks, they will all do it for you. So that's the nice part. State management is important because by nature, you would want your bot to be stateless, but if it's completely stateless, then you are not making a very efficient bot. Because if every request coming back to your service, you're reinitiating the whole thing, you lose a little bit of the context as to who the user is and what they're talking about. So you do have to maintain some state. Could be in memory, could be somewhere physical. So state management is important. You want to be able to debug your apps, your bots easily, both locally and once it's out in production, you need analytics. Yes, sir. Could be both. So most likely people who are building bots professionally, they just build bot as an app and they have it deployed. But if you are building like a web application already, so a bot could be a component of your web application. That could be embedded in your web application itself, or it could be hosted somewhere else in some other type of app. Yeah, so it's a bit of both. When it comes down to like actually the project, within Visual Studio or whatever else that you're using, it could just be another project in your solution, right? So it's up to you. Middleware is interesting because this is where as the bot as a service, when it's being hosted, you can do things on every turn. Like a turn is when the user says something, comes to your bot, and you figure out what to do and you respond. So that's a turn. On every turn, you can do logging, you can do authentication, you can do other things. You can call into services. So all of these things are important when you are trying to architect how a bot is built. We'll talk about other things, but I'll show you some examples, especially on the Microsoft stack. Azure, as we know, it's a gigantic beast of how many things it does, especially for bots and especially for mobile. That's mobile backend of the service. That's very nice. You can do serverless, and Azure is a very nice place to host your bots. It just really does make it very easy. But again, there are other cloud providers. Yeah. You don't have to. Yeah, you can host it. It's a web application, right? So as long as you have a web server, as long as you are running other websites, you can just host it yourself. But the scalability is up to you then, right? How many? Exactly. Yeah. So how much control do you need versus how much can you ship off to other cloud providers? Yeah. So we'll talk about Azure. The thing that really helps out with Azure is, I mean, to your point, is scalability and some of the manageability of your apps. So they have a service called the Azure Bot Service. And what they give you out of the box is a bunch of SDKs and some tools to get started with. So we'll look at this. Essentially, you get an SDK from GitHub, and they do Node.js and C#. If you're looking at the latest bot framework, which is version 4, they have support for Python and Java, right? So it's not, I mean, the language is pretty much not a limiting factor at this point, but most people do JavaScript or C#. And then the code editor, I mean, you can use anything. Where's the, maybe they don't have it here, but there is a very nice bot emulator, because when you're starting to build your bot, you need to be able to test it quickly. So that really helps. And then the real big benefit is all of these channels, right? So you can do these things by yourself, but it's a ton of work. So in Azure, it's just a couple of checkboxes, and your app just shows up on Messenger or Slack or Skype, right? So it's really easy. And obviously, the scalability of the elasticity of things is important. And you can do other things like Azure Functions, calling out from your bot, and so on. So this is a nice service which we'll look at. Again, others like AWS has a similar service, so the cloud provider doesn't really matter. This one here is also Azure, and it's something I'm fond of because it makes it helps us developers write apps that are not stupid. It helps us use AI and machine learning without actually knowing much of the math that goes in behind it, right? Because like machine learning is difficult. But these are some services which are literally like HTTP RESTful endpoints. You can call into these things, and they have models built in. You can customize, you can train your own models, and some of these things show up in your bots, and that makes your bot more intelligent to be able to understand what the user is saying a little easier. Yes, sir. Let me show you that. So a bot is essentially going to be hosted in the cloud somewhere or on premises, and then it will have kind of hooks into different types of channels. And then from a Xamarin app, you get to, so if you are okay with just the web, then you don't have to kind of dive into any of the hooks or the channels. But if you have to integrate a chatbot directly into a desktop or a mobile app, then you end up using DirectLine, because that gives you the programmatic access to that service directly. Then you don't care about channels anymore. Make sense? So we'll see some of these things in action. Just kind of fun way of building apps that are a little more intuitive. So these are some things that chatbots should look to do. Vision, be able to identify what the user is talking about, both over voice or over media or understanding pictures and images. Q&A Maker, this is a very fun thing, which I'll try to show you. So essentially, everybody has some sort of a knowledge base in enterprises, right? Could be on SharePoint, could be on emails, could be in an Excel spreadsheet. You want that knowledge not just to be in somebody's head or somebody's desktop, be able to access that easily over a bot. And some of these services really make it super easy. So you can spin up a bot real quickly and be able to ask his questions. Speech is super important because a bot should be able to understand what you're saying, not have to say word by word exactly what your bot expects. So understanding human language is really important. So Luis is language understanding as a service, and it's really nice and it helps out with bots. Okay, let's talk about some of the UX and some of the other pieces, and then I'll jump into some demos. So this is where I'm going to talk about some of our stuff, which you don't have to use, but it kind of helps. So like I said, we make the Telerik line of tools, which is for all things .NET, WPF, WinForms, all things desktop, big investments in Xamarin, obviously. And then we also do other things like reporting and CMS and testing. So this is our .NET side of the family. And then we also build Kendo UI, which for me, modern web development is hard. It's just so many pieces to it, right? And Kendo UI, when I had started with Telerik, it was just a pure jQuery-based library, so simple. But we have had to rediscover Kendo UI like four times over now, because now we make components for Angular and React and Vue. So we have a big portfolio of things. And for the first time, actually last year, we were able to do something that's across all of our product suites. We built something called Conversational UI. And this is where we spend the time to realize, like, our developers really wanting to build chatbots, because it took us engineering and months and months of work to get this done. So it's out, and it's a way for you to build chatbots quickly with some of our UI. Like I said, you don't have to use it, but you will be reinventing the wheel a little bit in terms of UI. So here are all the things where we can light up. So all things Kendo UI with web, we can do it for ASP.NET, Xamarin, WinForms, WPF. And it's really platform agnostic, works inside any Visual Studio. So I'm going to show you some of this, and let's focus more on the chatbot side of things and more than the UI. But it's just kind of fun to be able to build apps that are engaging. All right, so I have spent 20 minutes. Shall we look into some demos? Look at some fun stuff? Yeah? All right. Let's stop right here, and let's go back here. Okay, so for bots, especially if you're doing stuff on the bot framework, this is where I'll start. In fact, it's just dev.botframework. You guys can see it? Yep. So that's where you start. So this is the Microsoft Bot Framework, and they have really, really good documentation on how to get things done. So check out the documentation, but essentially you go download the SDKs from GitHub, and you can get SDKs for C# and Node.js, and they have really nice like getting started experiences, and they walk you through how to build like the different types of flows with bots. So definitely start here. Even if you're using some other bot framework, look into the documentation on getting the concepts right, because they do a fairly good job of explaining things. So if you have all the bits ready, here's how you get started. Maybe let's start with JavaScript real quick, and then we'll look at the C# side of the story. So let me do this. So I'm going to go in here, Let me pull up my terminal window. All right, because why not? Let's look into this folder. Okay. Terminal window. Okay. How many of you know of this thing called Yeoman? Anyone? Yes. So Yeoman is like NuGet package. It's a way for you to pull in dependencies and have scaffolding and so on. So there is a Yeoman package that comes with the Bot Framework SDK. So what I can do is I can go into this folder and I can say, it's kind of like hipster talk, like, yo, do this, yo, do that. So I can say, yo, bot builder. Can you guys see it? Is this big enough? Let me know and I can make things a little more bigger if you want. Okay, what type of bot do you want? Okay, what's the name? So let's do Xamarin Dev Summit bot. What will your bot do? Let's just say echo, because this is like the hello world of bots. Everybody starts out with a echo bot that just repeats what you say. What programming language, JavaScript or TypeScript? Let's do JavaScript. So when I say JavaScript, it's literally running on Node.js. That's the engine that's powering and hosting our bot. So echo bot, everything looking good? Great, yes. So at this point, you will see this little folder is created, and it's literally trying to spin up the template of what your bot should be like. We'll look into the code in just a second. We'll let this go for a second. And it is done. Okay, so now let's go into our XDS bot, and what we'll do is npm start. So at this point, he's saying, I'm ready, and I'm up and running for you. It's using a framework called Restify to kind of give you a RESTful endpoint, and I'm running on this localhost port 3978. So what you get with the bot framework is this little thing called the bot framework emulator. And this is very nice because when you're building a bot, you want a quick and easy way of testing your bot locally, right? So this is the emulator. So what you do is go in here and plug in a URL. This you can avoid or disregard because it's local. So it's up and running, and notice how it says it detected a conversation because I joined the chat room. So this is literally hello world. So if I say hello, it says you said hello, right? And I can do this all day long. So it's just an echo bot, right? So this is a bot that's now up and running. It's running on Node.js. I can host it on my web server. I can push it out to Azure. It's just hello world. Here's how you get started with a bot, right? So let's look at the same thing now, maybe on the Windows side. Let's pull up Windows. You're all Xamarin developers. We're at the Xamarin conference. Anybody else run Parallels like I do on a Mac? Yeah. Yeah. It works for the most time. Sometimes the fan just keeps on going all day. Okay, let me kill this guy. And let's look at Windows. I like. Yeah, I like Parallels. For the most part, it works. I haven't used that a whole lot, to be honest. But I've used like VMware. I prefer Parallels, but that could just be a personal thing. Yeah. Okay. So we are in Visual Studio on Windows, and it's the same experience except it's not command line; it's visual because we are in Visual Studio. Wake up, Visual Studio. Let's see. There you go. Sorry, I should have had Windows running so you don't have to wait on me. But should come up in a minute. Okay. So this works in VS 2019 as well. I just have a whole bunch of projects here. So in Visual Studio, what you do is file, new project. And once you have the SDKs downloaded, it will show up as a web application. Maybe it shows up as an Azure app. I think it was maybe an Azure app. Hang on, let's see, other project types? No. Web, again? This one? No, it's just ASP.NET.
Search for it.
Yeah, I'm not going to spend too much time. Let's see if I can find it real quick. So I think these show up as under an Azure thing that I'm not able to find. But what's that? Yeah. These are the three. But I'm trying to show you, like, on the left. What are you trying to say? Ah. Okay, my bad. I thought it was under Azure. I'm not seeing things clearly today. But, I mean, these are the same things. So if I do a file new project EchoBot, it'll do the exact same things in .NET versus in JavaScript. You get the exact same project. So let me show you some other things that come with bots. Let's look at this bot here. So when you build a bot, essentially it's just a Visual Studio project, and then you, when you build it, you get a file called .bot, that's the extension, and this is the one that's sitting out here. You can double click on it, so that opens up the Visual Studio, or no, the bot framework emulator, so you can test your apps real quickly. So this one here is the same idea, but this one is a little more advanced. So let me run this, just to kind of give you a feel of what it looks like. So when I run this, it's gonna open up localhost and say, I'm running, but don't use me like this, because I'm not a web application. Go pull up the bot framework emulator. So when I do that on Windows, it's the same emulator. I think the Windows one actually has a few more features. So this one here is just pulling up the .bot file. So I'm looking at the same API, same URL, and this one is up and running. But this one, notice that it does a few more things. So this one proactively, like, it started off a conversation without me saying anything, right? And these are things you can do. This is called, like, what's called a welcome message. So you can welcome the user the first time they join the conversation. So I can say whatever. I can say hi. And it's going to say, what's your name? I say, Sam. Are you sure? So what you're seeing here, or maybe I don't know, the confirmation step here. What's your age? Do you want to provide your age? Yes, no. So that's the button, right? So we are not having the user type. We are just having them click. So this is where we can say whatever we want to say. 20. Are you sure? Yes, no. Yes. And this one, it says, I have your name and I have your age, whatever. I'm doing something with it. So at this point, it's not telling me anything else. And there's a whole logging thing. So you can go in and see exactly what you're hitting the service with, how it's coming back. It's nice. So you can say whatever. What's next? So at this point, it's going to come back and say, what's your name, right? So this is an example of a loop, right? So the bot knows how to do one specific thing, and it's at the very end of it. Beyond that, it's up to you to kind of kill the conversation, or if you don't do anything, the bot kind of goes back to the top of it and says, let's restart, right? So this is kind of a traditional way of defining how the flow is, and there are multiple ways in which you can define the flow. This one here, if I show you the code real quick, this one here is defined as a waterfall. So in here are the steps. So the first step is asking for your name. The second step is confirming your name, asking for your age, confirming your age, and then the summary, right? So you literally get to do either waterfall or you can make it as complex as you want. It's like a whole flowchart that you're trying to define. If you answer yes or no, you can go down a different path. So this is where you kind of get to create the flow of your conversation. So all of this is nicely documented. This method here is important because you're going to see that for both JavaScript and C#. This is the method that you hit every time there is a turn. Every time you come to the service, you're going to hit this method. And it's up to you to figure out, is it a response? Is it what is it that you want to do? You'll notice that I do this welcome message. This is where you get to choose when to do this once, and not keep welcoming the user over and over again. So anytime somebody joins the conversation, you're giving an ID, so you get to check, like, is this a new user? Am I not responding to the bot joining the conversation? So all of this is well documented, and you get to define all of these buttons and cards and other things to make your bots kind of interactive and engaging. Make sense so far? Now, let's look at the same examples on Azure, and that makes things a little more fun. So I can go off to portal.azure.com.
So when it finishes, does it fire an event that says, hey, I'm done, I'm gonna loop?
Yeah, you get to respond. You get to either finish it or it loops back otherwise. Yeah. All right. So in here, if I go into create a new resource, and if I look into AI machine learning, web app bot. So when you go do that, it's going to ask you for a bunch of different things based on which, if you're using bot framework 2 or 3, you get different types of templates to start off with. So the idea is you can do this locally and then you can deploy, or you can just do it straight up in Azure. Then it just shows up nicely. I already have a couple of things, so let me show you maybe just an Echo bot here. This is how like a bot interface looks like, and this is the fun stuff. These are all the channels, right? So I literally get to pick from these channels, right? And a couple of steps, I can have it running as a Twilio SMS endpoint. I can have it running on Skype. I can do a web chat. The web chat is easy to test. You just say test in a web chat, and it'll spin up a thing. This is an Echo bot, so I can do whatever, and it's going to respond with what I just said, right? So same exact Echo bot, just running on Azure, and the same thing shows up on Skype, shows up on Messenger with just a couple of steps, a little bit of authentication, and they know exactly how to deploy it. Some of them, like Skype, will have a marketplace, so you can deploy your app to that marketplace, and Azure will bundle it up for you, so it's just one file that you're deploying. So the channel thing makes it really nice. And Twilio is nice. Anytime you drive by the highway and you see like text whatever to this number, there's a bot behind it, because like there's no somebody is automating that, right? So these are things that really help when you go to a cloud provider, some of the services. Okay, let's look at one more demo on Visual Studio, and then I'm going to show you some of the Xamarin stuff, right? Let's look at maybe some images of Houston. Let's do an image recognition. So let's go back into Visual Studio, and let's go do this. And let's pick an image that looks like Houston. How about this one? We'll see how Azure does. We're going to take this URL. Hey, Mark, how are you? So let's look at an image caption bot. I have 7 minutes, right? All right. I'll try to show you as much as I can. So let me fire this up. Okay, it's up and running. Let's pull up my simulator. Let's look at the image caption. So this is a bot where you literally give it an image, either like on the file or a URL, and it's going to try to make sense of it. So let's type in that URL, which is an image of Houston. Yeah, it's not very smart. It's a view of a city. So this is a point where we literally went off to Azure with that image and said, can you tell us more about what this image is? And Azure couldn't make out it's Houston, but it's a big city with trees, right? So you can do these fun things in a chatbot. You can make it light up with some intelligence by calling into services that help a little bit, okay? Let's look at a few more fun things. So one thing I was doing actually just last night was having a little fun with FAQs. So this is the Xamarin Dev Summit conference site, and they have an FAQ, which has a bunch of a lot of different like Q&A type questions, right? And this is where it can be any knowledge base. Like think of this in terms of your enterprise workflow, anything that you have knowledge around, you should be able to automate this. And it's like literally so easy to do this nowadays. So what you have to do, and there are other offerings, but this is the one that I like the most. There's a thing called Q&A Maker. This is actually part of Azure Cognitive Services, so you will need a sign-in. And you don't have to pay for this. I mean, the trial versions are, I mean, the freemium tier is ridiculously generous. So what you do in here is you can turn a FAQ into a bot really easily, just copy-paste in bot, and then you get to train it. So let me show you this. Knowledge bases. Actually, before I go into the knowledge base, let me show you the create part of it. So when you create it, this is what it's asking for. What is it that I should go off? Is it a URL or is it a file? You can give it a CSV, an Excel file. Do you want it to have a little bit of chit-chat? What's like the character of your bot a little bit? Is it fun or is it too professional? And then when you give it a URL or a file, what it's going to try doing is literally parsing through it and figuring out questions and answers. Right, so you're literally trying to automate the question and answer part of it. So I already have a few bots. Let me show you the FAQ bot here for this conference. So I gave it this URL. at this point, it goes through it and realizes that this is the questions and answers. And it's going to take a second to load up. Can I keep you guys until like 4:50? Nine minutes? Okay. Let's see if internet helps. Come on. I'll pull up Visual Studio in the meantime just to kind of help start the process. Yeah, I don't want to give feedback now. All right, can you do better? Okay, well, we'll see if this loads up. But essentially what you're going to see is Azure went through this, and for every question, it gave you an answer, right? So once you have this, you can hook it up to a bot because you have a key, you have a URL, you have set up a service. And this bot for me is just sitting out here. This is just a bot, and you can look through the code. Let's go ahead and test this, right, and see what it does. Ew, internet is being really slow. Okay. All right, this thing is at least up. So in here, I can say, who is planning this, right? Because this was one of the questions. And if the service is up and running, it says, hey, it's David Ortner's fault, and Dan Siegel, and these folks are putting it up, right? So this is literally a question you ask to the bot, and it's going to go through its list of answers, find the matching thing, and come back. Now, it's a little smart. It actually has language understanding built in. So I can say, who is, and I can say bad English, or who is organizer? Let's see if it does it. Same thing, right? So it's smart enough to know the context of what you're asking, like planning and organization are about the same thing, and it gets you back that answer. Now, as the developer who's building up this bot, if this thing had come up, yes, it did. So this is what you get with the knowledge base. So when we are doing this, like who is behind this, that is the question we are asking, and that's the answer, right? So you get to define what's the alternative phrasing? How else can somebody ask for this? Like, who's the organizer? Who's planning this? Whatever. And then you also have follow-up prompts. Like, if I answered that, and if you say, who is David Ortner, I can describe what that next answer is going to be. Like, this is where, like, a flow comes in. Yes, sir? Yes. Yes, absolutely. And it'll tell you. Like when you do a save and train, you can test it and you can publish or you can have settings where everything that comes in, you have a, like just like Alexa or Google Home, you get a full log of what people asked and how do you respond. And then you get to get back and train more and more to get better at this. So this is just an FAQ bot. Yes, sir?
So I don't know, this is just some random stuff. But yep. Can you export this to maybe like hook it up to Louis or something else?
Yes.
Like if you have an on-premise instance of Louis and then just export this.
Absolutely, absolutely. It by default, when you host it in Azure, it has some Louis hooked up to it, but it's not like full-blown Louis. And if you have to really break down the intent of what the user is saying, that's when you need a Louis service that you get to train with different dialects and different things that people might ask and make your app more intelligent. Yeah?
Can you use it to crawl a database like Greenhouse Spaces, like your own library? Can you use it to crawl a database that has knowledge base type?
Yes and no. Where it's going to fail is if you give it like gigabytes of data, it's just going to sit there and churn. But you can give it like you can piecemeal it.
Yeah.
You can have you can have parts of it be trained in chunks, and then you just keep building on it.
Do they have something like NML has, or where we can set up a visual of, you know, if they say this question, and we know that this goes to a certain department, can we set it to go down a path?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely, because behind the scenes, the bot is just code, and you get to define the paths. You can say, if it is just, it's going to be giant, like, if-else statement at that point, but you get to define to say, if it's this, go execute this flow and go to this department.
Okay, so the follow-up is, does Azure have any type of UI interface
Well, this is the user interface to build up the knowledge base. But what the bot does with it, that is code. Yeah, there's no easy way around it. Okay, so this is the app, this is the code. Let's look at this from a Visual Studio and a Xamarin app standpoint. So I have this simple little app, it's Xamarin Forms. All it has is a couple of dependencies. I'm pulling in Newtonsoft and I'm pulling in Telerik UI for Xamarin, which again just shows you the chatbot UI part of it and Xamarin Forms, right? So if I fire this up and we'll see how this is working. Okay, iPhone simulator comes up. 4:47. I'll keep you for 4 more minutes. How about that? And then we have to go to the closing. Okay, so this is obviously a demo app, so the UI sucks. But the point is, it's just so easy. So this is hooked up to the same bot, and if I do our who is planning, we will hit Azure, the same service, and it comes back with the same answer, right? Exactly the same way we did it for the web. The web stuff is easy. You can actually just embed that as an iframe in a web app, or you can put the same thing on Slack or Skype or any of these channels. This is where we are using direct line. This is where we are not using any of the channels. We are saying we would like to talk to the service directly in our app, right? So, and you can see a little bit of... Who is what?
MonkeyFest.
Okay.
It did.
And I mean, this is where you get to see like a little bit of Azure being witty. So if I actually say things that are nowhere in the FAQ, it still responds, and I can say things like, I didn't teach Azure that. It's just a little witty out of the box. So you can have a lot of fun with these things, right? So it's fun to see image recognition, speech recognition, and FAQs being trans. Yes. Yes. I'm going to show you just a second. So before I move off, take a look at how easy this stuff is. So what I'm doing here is just one line of code in my XAML. It is just our rad chat. I mean, you don't have to use this, but beyond without this, you would have to get me all of the text boxes and every dialogue. You'll have to create the UI part of it. So that's the only downside. But without that, I just have an Azure chatbot service. So this has been initialized. I am pulling in the bot address, and this is where we literally create an HTTP client. We know how to make a request. We do a shake hand, and this is where we are sending off the message with what the user typed, and this is where we get to parse the message that came back from Azure. So we are parsing the string that came back, and then we raise an event, and at the end of it, this is where it all comes together. So here's where I am initiating my bot with my secret, right? And then I have a bot for the author, and I have a bot for the human bot part of it. And then we initialize the chatbot service and we make a call to it, right? That's just a few lines of code, pure HTTP. Now, this is not as optimized as it could be. I could use a WebSockets. I could use SignalR to make this very, very fast and low level. Yes, sir?
Are you implying you can have like 3, 4, 5 people in a single chat?
Yes, yeah. Because any number of people can connect to the same chat service. For every one of them, you get a conversation. And you get to, I mean, you can control how many people can connect to the same instance of that service. You can have multiple. So you can build a chat room with any number of people. So let me show you the other thing, because, I mean, he was asking about cards, and we're running out of time. So let me show you one other thing that you can do, just to kind of give you a feel of what chatbots can do for you.
Can you integrate that into Skype? So if you're answering questions, you want to hand it off to the CSR?
Like programmatically, or?
Through it to a CSR, we're all hooked on Skype business. Is it possible to shift it off? Because it's not like
I don't know off the top, but let's have a conversation after this. Let me try to find out if there's something I can look up really easily. But let me end by showing you one example of what chatbots can do. And this is something you have all the source code to kind of play around with. So this is a sample app that we wrote, and it's actually in the store. So if you have an iOS or an Android or a UWP device, you can search for Telerik and you can see this app. And we also give you the source code for the whole thing. So we'll wait for this guy to come up. There you go. Come on. Okay. So this is a sample app that shows off all of our UI, but the thing that we want to do is look at conversational UI. And that is somewhere here. So notice the things that we can do, like travel assistance, chat room. So this is an example of having multiple people in it. Let's look at this one. This is simple. It's connecting up to an Azure bot that's sitting on Azure on our account. Let's do family type vacation. So this is trying to assist you with travel. And this is like a wizard. This is like a flow. It's a dialogue flow. Start date. So notice how the buttons show up and the calendars and things like that. That's what we can throw in. How many days? 5 days. How many people? 4 or whatever. And where do you want to go? These are pickers. So these are all things that kind of help with the conversation being quick, so you're not having the user type as much. Let's go to Portugal. And the next step is what you're going to see. And Azure does this a little bit. I think we do it a little bit better. So these are what's called hero cards or adaptive cards. And they show up in WPF and Skype and Xamarin and whatever it is. So this is a way for you to kind of have extra information, like some image, some text, so the user can glance and just hit one button. And it's just more richer experience that you're throwing their way. Yes, why not? $32,000 flight, why not? Let's do that, and hopefully it's done. So it's done, it's saying I'm booked, that's your contact information, and done. So what I'm trying to tell you is look into your enterprise, look into your workflows and see what you can automate. And these are some use cases where chatbots can really be effective, at least as the first line of defense before you come to a human being, so you can start automating these things. I am completely out of time, so let me end with just a couple of notes. I always do this because I feel like we are spoiled with just the number of tools and the things that we have at our disposal with Microsoft, with Xamarin, mobile apps that are cross-platforms. We have all the tools in the world for us to build amazing stuff. Like I said, that's me on social media. I did push out the slides, and I'll push out the code as well if you are interested in the demo. It's in that GitHub repo that the Xamarin Dev Summit set up. So I'll push that out so you have it, just in case you're curious. But otherwise, any questions and anything else? I'll come back to the question of what I can find out.
I can tweet you later, too.
Okay, yeah, please do. So that way I can give you the right answer, yeah. And not just, like, yeah, shooting off my hips. All right, thank you so much. Yeah, I appreciate it. Yep.